Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. And today, my very special guest is John Ford. He is a Navy veteran, and he now has his own business with Lifesaver Pool Fencing in San Diego, but it's been a long journey getting there. And we're here to talk about what happens and how a young 23-year-old veteran can come back and wind up homeless on the streets of San Diego for a little while before he was able to pick himself up and go on with this wonderful career. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand that both you and your wife were in the military. Can you tell us where you served?
That's correct. We were both stationed at 32nd Street Naval Bases, where we separated from the military. And naturally, we both served in Great Lakes, Illinois, also, where everybody does boot camp.
Yeah. And then you had some time in the Middle East also?
Yes. That was my first deployment, was out to Kuwait, Dubai, or that area.
Yeah. So you were in a combat zone over there too. So you came back. I understand that both of you got out of the service about the same time because your wife had been through a traumatic experience, an assault. So you got your honorable discharge so that you could be out too and be supportive of her. And what happened when you got back here and you got out and, you know, you're on your own all of a sudden? How tough was it to adapt? What happened?
So right after I got my general with honorable conditions, my wife and I, we were looking at our apartment trying to figure out what we were going to do. We had our rent coming up. We had utilities coming up. And we were just trying to figure out different jobs that would even work for us that were nearby. What we're going to do for transportation, I had actually just gotten my motorcycle, which was my only means of transportation, was stolen 2 days before that
well. Oh, my goodness.
So it was quite a week for us.
Yeah. And I know you've told me that the military was not as supportive as they probably should have been regarding the conditions with her assault, that she was dealing with retaliation and going through a lot of counseling after this trauma as well. So she wasn't even really quite ready to get out in the job force when she first came back, which really kind of put all the burden on your shoulders at first.
That's true. Our life was a total wreck as soon as we got out of the military. Yeah. It was like Uncle Sam dropped us off at the curb and said, good luck, kid. Here's $5.
Awful. So was there any kind of program at all? Did they put you through any kind of transition job training program? Did you get any money at all to help you transition back into civilian life? How does that work?
So there were some support systems in place. There's a TAPS class, which is a week-long class to help people readjust back to civilian life. And they have a couple of different resources as far as pursuing further education.
And how helpful were those resources for you?
I found them to be extremely ineffective because they seemed like just programs to get me to commit to $45,000 worth of debt so that I can get a degree and something that isn't actually hiring at this time.
So they didn't steer you toward, for example, maybe community college courses where you can go into something that's less expensive.
And ironically, the community colleges were not well represented there, because as soon as I started looking around on my own, I found that there was numerous community colleges in San Diego that welcome veterans with arms wide open.
Wow.
And they have some really great outreach programs there, which is one of the ways to get in contact with the SSVF grant program. That's what my wife and I used. And it was a really cool program for service members or people who get out. It will guarantee up to 6 months of our rents, which really helped us out. We didn't end up needing to use it for that long. It did take a little while for that to get into place. I think we were probably on a wait list for about 5.5 months.
Wow. So what did you do during that 5.5 months? That's not very much. I know you told me before we went on the air, it's only about $1,100 a month. Can you really rent anything in San Diego for $1,100 a month?
That's correct. So it's different based on people's income and what their actual individual family needs are. Because my wife and I didn't have a child, we were only counted as two people. We do have a 90-pound dog, and I think he counts. But
we've met him. He's a gorgeous Doberman, but yes, that makes it even more difficult. So many landlords won't take pets.
So they ended up assessing our budget and said that the only place that we could rent was a 500 square foot apartment in Vista, California, which was not attached to the county court complex and jail, but it definitely was right bordered up on the same parking lot. And whenever they let the drunk tank go in the morning, they would all kind of mosey through the
So here you've got your wife who's a survivor of assault, and they wanted her to rent a place next to where they let all the drunks loose.
Yeah, there was
in a 500-square-foot apartment with a 90-pound dog.
Yeah, there was no coordination between the groups, but it was definitely not a good rehabilitation environment when there's drunk people knocking on the door at 10 a.m. going, hey, can I have a beer? Or, do you have a cigarette? Or
gosh, can I use your phone? Terrible to treat our veterans that way. So what did you do? How did you wind up becoming homeless? Now, were you living in tents on the street or in your van, or what did you do?
So I think to jump back a little bit, as soon as I got my DD-214 and my wife got her DD-214, our discharge paperwork, I got a call from my best friend from high school's dad from Northern California saying that there was a great opportunity to open up a franchise for Lifesaver down in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I just needed to do a little bit of training and he'd help me out. And I really owe all of my success, at least my initial success, and there's more success to be dealt with later with from other people who helped me out. Mm-hmm. But to Mark Hinkle of Lifesaver Pool Fins of Northern California.
Very good. So it's nice that you had a friend that threw you a lifeline, so to speak. I hate to think what happens to young vets coming home like that that don't have a good buddy like that.
Yeah.
So at any rate, though, it took some time to get established with your own franchise because, of course, you had to go through training, that initial learning period. So how did you guys survive financially during that time?
So we couch surfed for a few weeks while I was doing training with Mark Hinkle and my friend Logan up there in Northern California. And then we had to make a decision on what to do. We could just hang out up in Northern California and couch surf relatively comfortably and just wait for someone to call and hopefully schedule an estimate and then sell a pool fence that way. Or we can go back down to San Diego and kind of take it the bull by the horns and try and make some sales happen and then be in that area to finally move on a property when we finally found one that would fit the budget. Mm-hmm. And the renting market then was crazy. It was like something would pop up and an hour later they'd have three applications.
Yeah.
And being homeless with a 90-pound dog without a job didn't really look that great compared to everybody else. So.
Yeah, very challenging.
Yeah.
So were you in your van for a while?
Yeah, so my wife and I and our dog lived in that van for about 6 months.
Wow.
And which is illegal in San Diego.
Yeah, did you get hassled and harassed by the police? Or did you ever get anything taken? What happened?
We never got anything stolen from us. We did get in a couple of close encounters with some sketchy people here and there. But for the most part, the police, when they'd come out, they would see two young kids living in a van and go, you know, I hope these guys sort it out and kind of leave us be.
So they were nice about it.
Yes, and just say, make sure you're out of here in the morning. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. So eventually you were able to not have to live in the van anymore. Where did you find a place after that?
So that was that SSVF grant that I was talking about through Interfaith Community Services. That was the outreach group that we chose to go with. They got us into that 500-square-foot apartment in Vista, and unfortunately they had a long contract with that. I'm sure there's many ins and outs of the legal structure for how to get people into housing like that and where the money comes from and how they structure those deals. But I really don't think that, I think in the end, the veterans are really paying for it because my wife and I were in a 500-square-foot apartment trying to start a business. Meanwhile, half of our neighbors are drug dealers and the other half are gang members. So like, and we had like, that's, not completely true. There was a few other veterans in the same situation that we were scattered around.
Still not exactly the supportive environment that we want. It puts you at risk of being
a
crime victim or worse. But despite all that, you're managing to be a success now, I understand. So tell me how the Lifesaver pool fencing business is going for you now?
So it's going really well. It's something I love about business. It's a very self-regulating market. Mm-hmm. It's something you can jump into not really knowing much about it, and then you're going to get an education really quick. It's probably going to be very expensive, but you're going to get an education.
But pool fencing is so important. I know that in San Diego County, drowning is, I believe, the number one cause of deaths among young children locally, and it seems like no matter how many safety tips we put out there, every year we're having to report those tragic stories of families having these horrific losses. Do you have a couple of pool safety tips you can share with our listeners as long as we're talking about that?
Absolutely. So a pool fence is just one layer of safety in a mini layer system, and you really want to have as much protection as you possibly can at the end of the day.
Yes.
Being just having good supervision over your children, or if you're having a party, everyone's children, because there's a lot going on. But there's a few new pool alarms out there that are really great on the pool safety store. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of new fences that are substantially stronger.
Yeah, I would add, if you have an older home, sometimes people think, you know, hey, it's fenced when they buy a house. And a lot of times those fences really aren't safe for young children. I know when we bought our home, it's been, you know, 20 years ago, but my daughter was 4 at the time, and the realtor was telling us, oh, and not to worry, the pool has a fence. And as she was speaking, my 4-year-old climbed through it.
Oh my gosh.
It was not secure at all. Not secure. We wound up actually taking the pool out. It was leaking and had other problems. But if we hadn't, we would have had to replace all of the fencing, not only around the pool, but it triggered a, with the zoning and stuff, basically the fencing around the entire property.
Everything got an inspection.
Yeah, we would have had to replace all the fencing around the whole property. It wasn't high enough. Yeah. So there's a lot to learn about pool fencing, and it seems like a big investment, but it's certainly worth it over, you know, the loss of a child.
And that's exactly why we sell our product with a lifetime warranty, because it is a significant investment, and I want people to be comfortable with that investment, that if they ever have an issue, they'll see my smiling face within 2 days to come fix it for them.
Yeah. And how is your wife doing now with all that she'd been through?
She's doing really well. She's gotten a lot better treatment since then. She's kind of managing her own program instead of just kind of getting passed through the system.
Mm-hmm. Did she go through that of where they try to, with so many vets, they sort of medicate them up the yin-yang rather than really dealing with the psychological trauma they've endured?
So she ended up with 3 different diagnoses over the course of 1 month.
Wow.
And then the next month she got an additional 2 different diagnoses for the exact same symptoms. So they gave her different medications for all of those, and just having all of those things together, not having clear information, having more than one doctor that don't talk together very well.
Yeah, bad
and news. Just the whole VA system in general seems like walking into a hospital in a third world country.
Yeah, we just interviewed a doctor a couple of weeks ago who talked about the over-medication of so many of these veterans, especially young veterans. Some of them were actually dying in their sleep from a combination of psychiatric drugs that would just stop their heart. So it can be very, very dangerous. So I'm glad to hear from you that she's off of all of that now. And
me too.
Yeah.
I'm glad about it also. We've started a couple of other things. We've really been focusing on our diet with the information that's just on the web. Mm-hmm. Now it's really been easy for us to educate ourselves, not only with business, but also in nutrition, kind of pick up where we feel our education left off.
Very good. Do you have any advice out there for other young veterans that may be just now getting out of the service in terms of anything you found in the way of resources out there, if not with the military, even outside of the military, where you could find out about maybe some better choices?
I would say to take every day like it's P-days back in boot camp. And that means just, you know, there's probably a few more months of this where things are going to be down, but just keep your head down and keep going, and things will get better soon, because you can move a mountain with enough dedication and just pursuing what you really want and just going after it over and over again, even when, you know, life tells you no. Tell life I don't think so and keep going.
There you go. Well, we know our military veterans are tough, and if they survive the things they go through in combat and war zones, then certainly you can get through this too, even if it's tough. If listeners out there, John, want to learn more, either learn more about Lifesaver pool fencing, or they want to just get in touch with you to talk about, you know, maybe their own experiences or people who may have questions, how can they reach you?
So you can email me at j.ford@poolfence.com. You can find my website, www.poolfencesandiego.com. I'm also on Facebook, Lifesaver Pool Fence San Diego, or at Best Pool Fence. You can find me on Instagram.
Okay. Well, very good. John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. And thank you also for your service to our country.
Thank you. I appreciate it.